Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Should pastors and business people ever be in the same room? That's a question, Dean. I got Dean Folks here, a pastor, and my pastor. And Dean, I'm a business person, used to be a pastor, but we're talking about the Impact Conference over at Cedarville coming up. And look, there's a big vision to get pastors and business people in the room because God's going to do something cool. Why do you think they should get together?
You know, throughout history, Carrie, God has used business people in the church, both to support the work and in a lot of ways to lead the work, right? You look back throughout history, of the reformers, there were people behind the scenes who were great at business, who were supporting, what they were doing. One of the most well-known probably is Humphrey Monmouth.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, just the work that he did, incredible. And seeing the Bible spread, out of England and around Europe was amazing. Amazing what he did. I think behind the scenes, I think Monmouth was with William Tyndale.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And of course, in that time, Tyndale was printing Bibles that the church was not excited about, right? With the Bible in English language, and this was pre-1611, pre-King James. So. Yeah. Throughout history, man, business leaders have done incredible, amazing work.
I read a book not too long ago called Gospel Patrons. You ever hear about that book?
Yeah. Monmouth is in that book. Yeah. It's a fantastic book.
Well, gee, I should have remembered what I read then.
Well, there's a lot of great patrons in there.
No, I mean, that book was, I actually reached out to the author because I had never read a book about how God funded a lot of kingdom work through business people.
Yeah.
So that's one piece, but then you got this other piece that, maybe throughout church history, pastors unintentionally, or maybe just business people have thought this, that they're almost like second class citizens. Like, well, those pastors, they crush it 6-7 days a week.
Yeah.
But us people, we got to go to our secular jobs and kind of leave our faith at the door. And, just hustle and crush it. And then, we put our faith back on Sundays. Why is that toxic? And what's the alternative?
Yeah. In any realm, when you start to have that separation of the sacred and the secular, you're missing out on the Great Commission, right? The great commandment, loving the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? The purpose of that, of getting God into us, is to get God through us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because then you move from Great Commandment to Great Commission. And when we create walls and we create boundaries, what happens is that we're really only carrying out, one of the mandates of Jesus, prayerfully carrying out one of the mandates, but certainly we're missing out on the other one. The integration of our faith where we live, work, and play is critical to gospel formation, not only in our souls, but being a light in our communities.
It's funny, Dean, we've known each other for a lot of years. I think we met in the YMCA.
You're right. Right.
I tell people that we met in the YMCA locker room years ago because I was a pastor. I would work out before the office. You would work out, and then God brought me into become an entrepreneur. But today, these days, man, I might be crushing it on a call. This is legitimately true. We're launching a billionaire's book about how he's, changing the world through a supplement that's, re-engineering your DNA. And then I'm popping over here at a Cedarville class teaching about Christ-centered marketing. And then, I pop over to LifePoint. LifePoint is amazing. It's my, it's the church that I go to. And I just want people to see it really quick. And I think LifePoint just does it so well in the terms of, blending, reaching out with being relevant, with being biblically sound. But I do agree that there shouldn't be any of these boundaries that often come into play with Christianity. So where do you see business people at LifePoint? You know, you don't have to mention names, but like, where do you see the intersection? Because that's our tagline, where business excellence meets gospel purpose. How are you seeing some of that at LifePoint?
Yeah, you know, we have people who go to our church who are in roles where they hire for teams. And then they intentionally come to places like Cedarville to recruit students.
Wow. Right,
to build a foundation, right, in their companies. Because number one, they believe that if Christ is first in your life, you're going to work really, really hard. And you're going to, not only are you going to work hard, you're going to be profitable for the company that you're with. But in the midst of that, you have the opportunity, right, to speak into other people's lives at critical moments. And there's certainly a tension. I think if you talk to most business leaders, there's a tension in their soul where they say, okay, these are lines that we probably can't cross. Mm. Like, I can't roll out your 3 points from last Sunday's message on Philippians and roll that out. But there are critical moments in the lives of your coworkers where they're going to ask, where they're going to have a need, where they're looking for encouragement. And you can ask questions so that you can wade into those conversations. And I feel like as pastors and leaders, it's our job to do our best to help equip people who come to our church to be able to have those conversations, to have a relationship with God, to be steady enough to recognize those, you know, those opportunities when they come.
That's so good. Well, you're somebody who I think has taken some awesome, like, I like, being real, I like pastors who take risks. You know, like, I get fired up. I like Dr. White. Dr. White's a visionary leader who has will. I like LifePoint. You're a visionary leader. I think, look, we got one life. Let's make a count. Let's go bold. And you kind of done that with some of your books too. Like, you know, there's all kinds of pastors who are thinking, well, I don't know about writing a book because, you know, I've seen churches where they almost like shoot you down your motives. You know, like, what's your motive, man? Like, what if your motive's not pure? And you know what? I've told people a long time ago, I don't even care is a strong word. I don't even let my motive question come into my factor anymore because God's got it. I'm just praying to keep my heart pure. But I see a lot of Christians who are actually scared to do anything because they're like, well, I don't know if my motives are right and stuff. How is that a trick of the enemy to like freak people out almost so they don't take action?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, in John 5, when Jesus says, I don't do anything of my own initiative, I do the things that I see my Father doing. Mm. Like, as we equip people at our churches, instead of calling them to more gatherings, to more events or to more services, I think part of the heart for us as pastors, we should be equipping them to go, not trying to get them to come more, right?
That's good.
I would rather have our folks at soccer practice, at the YMCA on a regular basis, connecting with people. And so when I think about something like a book, like for me, the first book that I wrote was really an answer to a problem, which was we were seeing people, you know, make a profession of conversion, but then trying to get to them for a conversation was proving to be difficult. And so we give the book out to people who make a profession of faith because people love something for free. Obviously, you know, if they're making a profession of faith, there's some sort of trust relationship that the Spirit has created with whomever is speaking that day. And, if that's me, they'll probably trust me enough to stop by a table, pick up a free book. And when they do, we have equipped people to try and start conversations.
So
we've seen a tick, you know, up and to the right just from the simplicity of a book.
So good. I love it. Yeah. I love it. We got a couple more minutes left. Of course, when I was involved with Dr. Heyman, he's like, hey, can you help plan this thing out? you, of course, came to mind right away. And I said, we got to get Dean on over here. So there's this pastors panel, and there's going to be pastors from all different church sizes. Of course, you got this Dallas Jenkins guy who took a bunch of risks and started The Chosen. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people probably heard about The Chosen, maybe. But my point is, like, why give up your Saturday? Because let's be honest, man, Saturday's a free day, a rare free day, probably for you. Why give up a Saturday and come gather with a couple hundred other people from around the world and consider this whole topic of business excellence meeting gospel purpose? Why would you do that personally? And why do you think maybe someone might think about coming?
Yeah, first of all, I feel blessed to be part of it. And I'm going to come, you know, as a learner, as well as, you know, I'm blessed to be a contributor as well. But I think this is really where faith meets the road for so many people. Mm. So many people who maybe don't have a pastoral calling in their lives, who are not on a church staff, or who don't, you know, have a paid job in ministry, are asking the question, okay, what do I do when I show up at the office? What do I do when I have a tough conversation with, you know, my director? If I'm in education, what do I do whenever something breaks? And what happens when somebody has questions that are spiritual in nature? How far can I go? How far should I not go? How much should I push? How much should I not push? How do I pray consistently? And when I pray and it doesn't seem like anything like happens, like, is that a sign? Is that I just think this is really, for a lot of people, this is where the information of Christianity meets the street, and that's worth it.
Totally. That,
we've got to get Christianity from Sunday to Monday.
That's good. Well, God is doing some really cool things at Cedarville and around the world. I do think of other organizations. Christian Business Fellowship is a co-leader in this. But there's even this thing like faith-driven entrepreneur. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's a thing that's growing. And it just seems to me, Dean, as I look out in the world, you know, we're in this middle of a election cycle, which the whole world's, you know, flipping upside down, and it can feel very unsettling.
Yep.
And yet to know that there's people going out every day, men and women, into the marketplace, bringing Jesus with them. That's pretty cool.
Yep. And there are people each and every day who are looking for opportunities, both to mentor younger Christians in the marketplace and to look for opportunities to sow gospel seeds far and wide, wherever those opportunities present themselves.
Yeah. And I want people to think, like, as we close, it doesn't have to be something major. Like the other day, Dean, I was riding my bike with a group in Galena. I don't know where everyone's faith is on that. And someone crashed, you know, like they literally crashed. The cyclist is on the ground in the middle of the road, bleeding from the head. And I'm like, I just go over to the person. Can I pray for you? You know, I don't know. I think that a lot of times we think you got to like have this whole thing figured out, you know, and
right.
I think a lot of times it's in the moment at work. You don't know what's coming. You just step it up.
Yep. It's stepping into those moments that the Spirit of God provides, that you can clearly sense, you know, in your heart that there's freedom. And the other side of that is, you know, you're not going to do it perfectly. And maybe sometimes you're going to get your hand slapped for it.
Yeah.
That's okay. Like Jesus said that would happen. Like Paul tells us in the New Testament to expect that, right?
That's right.
And certainly those moments sting, and there's a cost to that, but that's part of the cost of discipleship as well.
That's right. Well, folks, cedarville.edu/impact, first action, you know, sign up. Dean and I would love to see you there. If one of his books makes sense to you, I mean, your next 30 days, I love it. I've seen what it's done for people. It's anyone who's new in the faith, or if you have a friend and they're not sure what to do in their first 30 days of coming to a relationship with Christ, it is the book. So Dean, thanks for being here today. Thanks for all that you're doing at LifePoint And we're just excited to see you in October.
Thanks, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.